If you have an arrogant or self-seeking attitude, you're probably going to end up in conflict with someone. Those attitudes are the starting point for division and ultimately destruction. There are few better examples of this principle than the two men who initiated the division of Israel into competing kingdoms, Rehoboam and Jeroboam. Today on The Wisdom Journey, Stephen Davey explores this in a lesson that he's called A Divided Kingdom.
The Lord has revealed to Solomon the tragic consequences his apostasy would have in Israel. And primarily, the nation will be divided. Now, the way God brings this about is through the arrogance of Solomon's son, Rehoboam, who is now king of Israel. As Rehoboam arrives in Shechem for his coronation, 1 Kings chapter 12 tells us the northern tribes arrive and they want to see some changes take place. In verse 4, they make this request to Rehoboam. Your father, Solomon, made our yoke heavy. Now, therefore, lighten the hard service of your father and this heavy yoke upon us, and we will serve you. Now, they're referring to the heavy taxes and the demand for manpower during Solomon's building projects. Now, this has taken a really heavy toll on the people, and they want relief. Well, Rehoboam promises to give them an answer after 3 days. Verse 6 tells us here that he calls a meeting with the old men who had stood before Solomon, his father. He asks these veteran leaders for their advice, and they tell him, grant the people's request. But Rehoboam doesn't like their advice. This isn't what he was looking for. So in verse 8, we're told he abandoned the counsel that the old men gave him and took counsel with the young men who had grown up with him. You know, if you ask enough people for advice, you'll eventually find somebody who tells you what you wanted to hear in the first place. And what's the advice of these young men? Well, they tell him to respond to the people by saying this, if you can believe it, in verse 10. My little finger is thicker than my father's thighs. My father laid on you a heavy yoke. I will add to your yoke. My father disciplined you with whips, but I will discipline you with barbed whips. Well, that'll rally the people around you. Can you imagine? Rehoboam, in his arrogance, follows the advice of his young friends. It's clear he doesn't have a clue how to lead this nation. And we're told here in verse 16, not surprisingly, when all Israel saw that the king did not listen to them, the people answered the king, what portion do we have in David? We have no inheritance in the son of Jesse. So Israel went to their tents. Well, this means they're going home. They're effectively declaring their independence from Rehoboam. Well, now, in a rather desperate attempt to keep the northern tribes under his control, Rehoboam sends a messenger to speak to them and demand payment of taxes, which is foolish. And what do? They turn around and stone that messenger to death. Well, Rehoboam responds, he's gonna prepare to attack these tribes. But a prophet appears by the name of Shemaiah, comes on the scene, and he delivers this message from the Lord here in verse 24. Thus says the Lord, you shall not go up or fight against your relatives, the people of Israel, for this thing is from me. So they listened to the word of the Lord and went home again. Well, the united kingdom of Israel under Saul, under David, and under Solomon has now become a divided kingdom. And from this point on, beloved, the books of Kings and Chronicles are going to give us the history of these two separate kings. The northern kingdom is made up of 10 tribes. It's referred to as Israel. The southern kingdom, made up of the tribes of Judah and Benjamin, is referred to as Judah, with Jerusalem as its capital. The parallel account over in 2 Chronicles chapter 11 tells us that Rehoboam gets busy building defenses in Judah. He even starts accumulating wives and concubines, just like his father Solomon. He hadn't learned one thing from history. As the old saying goes, if you don't learn from history, you're doomed to repeat it, and he will. Well, now here at 1 Kings chapter 12 and verse 25, the focus turns to the northern kingdom and its newly anointed king, Jeroboam. Back in 1 Kings 11, God's prophet promised Jeroboam that if he followed the Lord, he would have a successful reign on the throne. You remember that? But Jeroboam evidently, you know, he hadn't learned anything from history either, because we're told here in verse 27 that he says to himself, "Well, if my people go up to offer sacrifices in the temple of the Lord at Jerusalem, then the heart of this people will turn again to Rehoboam, king of Judah, and they will kill me and return to Rehoboam." Essentially, Jeroboam is saying here, I can't maintain my kingdom if I follow God, because my people are going to go up to Jerusalem to worship at the temple, and I'm going to lose control of them. So I've got to keep them from going up there. Well, how's he going to do that? We're told here in verse 28 that he fashions two golden calves as idols, and he tells the people that these are the gods that brought Israel up out of Egypt. And he places one in the northern part of Israel at Dan and one in the southern region at Bethel. The second thing Jeroboam does is build little temples in his territory. He appoints false priests. Verse 31 says, from among the people who were not of the Levites. In other words, they're not qualified to serve as priests, but then again, you know, who cares? It's all fake anyway. Over in 2 Chronicles 11, we're told that some priests and Levites in the north actually defected and moved to Jerusalem. So Jeroboam creates this system of idolatry and all these little fake temples in order to keep his people from going near Jerusalem. And this sort of sets this horrifying precedent of rebellion and idolatry. In fact, throughout the record of 1 and 2 Kings, you're going to read of one king after another walking in the way or walking in the sin of Jeroboam. Now, God doesn't, you know, just let Jeroboam destroy himself without plenty of opportunities to repent. In fact, here now in chapter 13, God is going to send a man to confront the king and denounce his idolatry. He prophesies that Jeroboam's altar is going to be torn down and the ashes all poured out. Well, instead of repenting, we read here in verse 4, Jeroboam stretched out his hand from the altar, saying, "Seize him!" And his hand dried up so that he could not draw it back to himself. The altar also was torn down and ashes poured out, according to the sign that the man of God had given him. Well, now Jeroboam's hand is paralyzed, and the altar is destroyed. Well, that ought to make a believer out of anybody. Jeroboam says here in verse 6, well, you know, ask the man of God to pray for me so that God would heal him, and God does graciously heal him. Even after all of this, chapter 13 ends by telling us here in verse 33, Jeroboam did not turn from his evil way. So this miracle affected Jeroboam's hand, but it did not change Jeroboam's heart. Now, before this chapter concludes, it records another incident involving the man of God who confronted Jeroboam. God commanded this man of God not to stop to eat or drink in that place, but to return to Judah. Tragically, he's going to be deceived by an older prophet, and he disobeys the Lord. We're told that the next morning, this younger prophet is killed by a lion as God's judgment for his disobedience. And I got to tell you, this is one of the strangest and most surprising events in the book of 1 Kings. But it serves as God's dramatic and powerful warning to the northern kingdom. If this devout man of God will be judged for this one act of disobedience, Why in the world would they think they can get away with many acts of idolatry and defiance of God? Well, there's much more to come. In the meantime, beloved, let's take God's word seriously. Let's listen to his warnings. Let's walk with him in obedience today. Well, until next time, beloved, may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.
That was Stephen Davey and a lesson he called A Divided Kingdom. This is the Wisdom Journey. If you're new to this podcast, Stephen is teaching through the Bible, all 66 books. We release a new lesson each weekday. It would strengthen your walk with Christ if you took the time to join us each day. Follow along and be better equipped to know what God's Word says, understand what it means, and apply it to your life.